All right, this morning we're going to be talking on the subject of good works, and what he had to say in Galatians is that we're to serve one another in love, and that's the subject for today. And we're going to be in Titus chapter 3, if you want to turn there so that you have your finger in there. You know, I as we talk about good works this morning, one of the things that occurred to me is sometimes I kind of forget these words that we use over and over and over. Do you ever feel inoculated by certain church terms? You hear it so many times, you don't hear it anymore. And good works is kind of that way for me. It's like you hear good works, good works, good works, and then pretty soon I'm thinking, well, what is good works? And are we doing them? And yet it's very clear what it is, but we hear it enough. And if you're new to this church, we believe that if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that's what gets you to heaven, not good works, okay? But Ephesians 2:10 says that we were created in Christ Jesus. We were his craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works that God before prepared that we should walk in them. So as Christians, God has designed us to walk in them. And good works is something that Titus has been talking about and is going to continue to talk about here. And we're going to hear from Paul that we are to not only to do good works, but we're to be careful to maintain good works. And not only that, but they are profitable and beneficial to us. So what he's going to tell us is we are to be careful, cautious, alert, vigilant, on guard, watchful, to maintain, to stand in, to be established in, to sustain, to uphold good works. Now, it sounds pretty important to me, does it to you? When he uses those kind of terms. Now, are we all awake today? Because I asked you a question, I didn't even get a nod. In fact, I don't even think anybody looked at me. Okay. I'm an extrovert. I need that input. Okay. There we go. Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you, Clyde. All right. I think it sounds pretty good to me. Does it to you? I mean, it sounds pretty important. Okay. Be careful to maintain good works, which Paul then tells us these things, these good works are good or beneficial and profitable to men. Not only are they beneficial, but they are of value to us if we do them. Now, I think it's very interesting how a lot of times God tells us to do something and it always is for our best interest, but somehow we take the position he's trying to get us to do something I don't want to do. But that's not true. He's trying to have us do something that's beneficial to us. Good and profitable to whom might be the question. Well, to us personally. It's also beneficial to the body of Christ. It's also beneficial to God himself because that's the way God is. God maintains good works, doesn't he? And he wants us to be like him. So good works are held in high esteem in the Word of God and something that is indispensable in the Christian life. So really, it is that we cannot do without them. Do you hear me on that? We can't do without them because it hurts us. It is a detrimental effect on you and I if we stay selfish and we don't reach out in love to other people and do those things that God's called us to do. And as I thought about that, I thought to myself, you know, I wonder if what God's saying there when he says it's beneficial and it has value, is he saying that it actually is like healthy to us? Is it actually do something in our system? So I wanted to read this because it has to do with Mother Teresa. And we talked a couple weeks ago, maybe last week or the week before, about her. But listen to this. Research into the flu and faith link is part of a broader inquiry in recent years into the possible health benefits of spirituality and religion. So there is a whole market of psychology and medical that's looking, is having spirituality and religion actually creating health in our life, okay? In 1988, Harvard researchers coined the term Mother Teresa effect to describe how merely watching the act of altruism, and that means self-sacrificing, can be good for you. Subjects were shown a film of the famous nun caring for orphans in Calcutta. The researchers found that the viewer's saliva had increases of immunoglobulin A, which defends against the cold virus. Some of the subjects, this researcher said, didn't even agree with Mother Teresa's religion. Now, here's what happened. They gathered a bunch of students, and they took tests and measured their immune system. Then they showed Mother Teresa caring for these orphans in the slums of Calcutta, and when they were done, they took some more saliva, redid it, and their immune system went up. Just watching good works. Isn't that amazing? Just watching raise their immune system so they're more healthy. Now, I thought about that because this week I got a cold, and I'm doing this message, and I thought, wait a minute, have I been selfish this week? I'm just kidding. Sorry, I'm just kind of a jokester at times. Just to observe good works creates a healthier state of being. Do you know that when you come here and you drop your child off at the nursery, it raises your immune system? When you see someone teaching in front of you, it raises your immune system? In other words, watching someone do good works is highly important and healthy. Now, that's a side point. I think we need to do it because God told us to do it and created us to do it and meant us to do it. But I want us to understand, even our scientists understand that us doing good works makes us more healthy. And, you know, in life you see that when people serve God and through, they seem to get more healthy. They seem to be healthier in their older age. When I look around at some of the people here that are, man, they're old. No, I'm just kidding. I'm included in that. We all seem to be in better health. I go out on the street and the same people my age look twice as old. And I think, why do they look so bad? But then when you talk to them, it's because of the self-centricness. It's because of the unwillingness to do what God built us to do. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. So it's highly important to our health, and that's just watching somebody else do it. Now, I remember years ago, and Ed was part of this, and there was a few other people. In the previous church we went to, we had a couple that had a house that was just in serious, it was dilapidated. I can't think of a better way to put it. It had holes in the floor. I mean, actually holes out of the floor. You could see down into the dirt, and holes in the walls. Do you remember who I'm talking about? And it was a mess. So we got, man, I don't know how many people we got. It seems like about 20 to me now, but it was probably 15, 20 of us. And we went in, and over a weekend, we completely overhauled that house. We fixed the flooring and put it in. We put in new carpet. We put in linoleum. We put in new countertops. We put in sinks and cabinets. We put in cabinets, and we painted, and we got it all done, and we walked away from that. And you know what was interesting is the feeling that we had of doing it together and doing something good for someone was pretty unbelievable. I remember how neat it felt. Then, a couple weeks later, the people put a for sale sign on it, sold it, and left town. You know, I kind of left away, and they came back to church and talked to us. But, you know, the thing was, is we immediately got bummed out, and it started to affect that whole thing. And I remember us sitting down and saying, you know, is it about them selling the house and leaving, or was it about what we did for them that counts? And right away we realized, wait a minute, it didn't matter what their action was. The fact that we did it felt so good for us, and it seemed so healthy. And I look at that, and I realize that That is the kind of feeling that we're all looking for in our life, isn't it? Aren't you kind of looking to feel good? You know, especially when it's kind of depressing or life seems kind of crummy and you think, okay, then I'm not going to help anybody if I don't get help. And what you're doing is you're committing emotional suicide there, because going out and helping, and you know, I know that because you know what's funny is like when we dismantle the nursery and some of you get involved in the nursery, you're more talkative and you're talking with the other people and you're thinking, hey, great, I just get a chance to talk. Nuh-uh, you're feeling better and you know it. You're feeling better. Isn't that true? You know, I'm sure that for you, you've helped others and you've worked hard and you've felt the same kind of things. And at times you think to yourself, am I doing this for them? Or am I really doing it for myself? And here's the thing. God created us in Christ Jesus to do good works. That God before prepared that you and I should walk in them. And if he's prepared us to walk in them, that's what he's expecting. And it's the best thing for us. That's one thing I've learned about the word is that when he tells us to do something, it's because we need to do it. And you know, when you've helped other people, you've felt that sense of pleasure. There's nothing else that matches it. I was trying to think of what that may be. Maybe a roller coaster. Maybe, I don't know what it would be, but you know, when you help someone who absolutely cannot return the favor, I don't know that there's a better feeling than that. If they could return the favor and do, somehow it almost kills it, doesn't it? Because you love doing it to someone who can't return the favor. And many times in my Christian life, I've helped someone who I absolutely know can't return the favor because at least I know I'm doing the right thing in my own heart and it's not clouded. And yet there's that sense of inner strength. There's that sense of paralleling what God does for us. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, for us. He gave, and he gave his life. And yet, let's turn it around, because I always think it's good to reflect from the opposite side. Sometimes you serve yourself. And sometimes it's about you and what's important to you. And you know, I don't know about you, but if you put your faith and trust in Christ and you've read your Bible lit and you kind of know what's going on, it's a pretty uncomfortable feeling when you get selfish, isn't it? There's a sense in which you start to serve yourself and pretty soon you think, ooh, I don't feel very good. And you think, why am I not feeling very good? It's because I'm trying to serve Steve and not people outside me. And that's what God intended, is that we serve people outside of ourselves. So, good works in the dictionary means good actions towards others. I'm going to try to explain it in case you're inoculated too. Good actions towards others. The good which somebody normally does in tasks or work or an assigned job or task that helps others. And so I thought about it, and I think there's three things here we have to consider that help us to step out of ourselves and into doing things for others that are good. Number one, understanding how God built you and what you do because of that. I think that the more you grow in Christ, the more you begin to see what you do well and what you don't do well. Okay, nobody would hire me as a finished carpenter. Now, I've tried that many times at my house, not the present one. I finally gave up on that. But I'm not a great finished carpenter. I get gaps, you know, for you guys who do it. And I get nail holes, and I measure it, and it's a quarter inch short of the wall. You know, those kind of things. So nobody would hire me to be a finished carpenter. But yet, I look at it, and I think, you know, from a discipleship point of view, from a counseling point of view, those type of things, I feel like God's given me a special gift. And I'm able to do that, and I think I can give to people that way, and it works. Being a pastor, I feel like being a pastor is something that I can give and do as a leader. The second step, I think, is that we have to have the courage to do it. You know, it's one thing to say, you know what, I ought to call Linda and see how she's doing. It's another thing to pick up the phone and do it, right? That's always the nemesis. So you have to have the courage to do what you think God is asking you to do. And if it's something that you're built to do and the need's there, God's saying, you know what, pick up the phone, go drive over there, talk to them, see if you can help them. And some of you may be finished carpenters. You may not be a counselor. You may not be a pastor. And you do whatever it is, but it means that you have to step out in faith and do it. Number three. I think the third thing is you have to understand this is an act of love, that you are stepping out and you're about to love and serve others. And that God loves. Amen? God absolutely loves that when you love others. So in other words, stepping out in courage to serve and to do what you do because you love others, the other person, these are good works. Now, I remember it was a while back I discipled a young man, and the young man never had a father, and he was pretty young, and we started getting together. And I thought, well, what can I do for this man? He's kind of depressed, and he really hasn't had a dad in his life, and so he really hasn't had that male bonding and that kind of thing. So I began to get together with him, and after we had met on a weekly basis for about a year, he began to grow, and his depression started to fall off, and he began to look at himself in a different way because we just get together every week and talk. And finally, one day, he says, I want to tell you something, Steve. And I said, okay. And he said, well, wait a minute, I have to think about what I want to say. And he says, because I don't think I'm going to say it right. And so I said, okay, well, just say it, and then you can modify it if you don't think you can say it. And he said, I didn't have a dad. And then he stopped for a while. And I thought, yeah. And he said, you fill in the cracks. And I thought, how can that be said any better than that? And yet, because it was my gift and my way of doing how God built me to do, he and I were able to come together, and I was able to give him some of those areas that he never had a dad, never had that bonding, and I became like a dad to him. Now, what if I said to myself, you know, man, that's a commitment once a week, and I don't have the time, you know, I've got a sermon to do and classes to teach and other discipleships, and I don't know if this kid's going to go anywhere in the church or whatever. What if I took that attitude? He'd have never known what it was like to have a dad. And I had no idea I was even doing that for him. It was just conversation. And what I'm saying, the reason I'm telling you this story is because that applies to you too. You can do those kind of things. You can make the difference in other people's lives because God built you to make a difference in other people's lives. Isn't that true? You're created in Christ Jesus into good works, which God prepared beforehand that you walk in them. Now let's turn to Titus chapter 3, verse 8. And I want to read our scripture for this morning. This is a faithful saying. And if we put it in our present type of vernacular, we would say, this is a statement worth trusting. That's what Paul's saying here. This is a statement worth trusting, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. So not only is he saying it's a statement worth trusting, but he wants us to keep saying it over and over to each other, to firmly assert or emphasize with each other that, and it's a purpose clause, for the purpose that those who have believed or trusted in God, that's us, right? Should be careful, should pay attention, should think about maintaining or to maintain or to stand in or sustain good works. This is what God says. This is a saying, a very trustable saying that we need to maintain good works. These things, these good works, are good. And the word good here means beautiful, fitting, advantageous, super beneficial, and profitable, of value to you and me. as well as to the other people to God. This statement is worth trusting. Now, you may be here this morning and you've thought over and over, what should I do in the ministry? What is it in the church that counts? What's meaningful for me to do? And you won't find that answer necessarily in the church. And the reason I say that is I showed a video with Mother Teresa. Now, Mother Teresa worked in the church, and it didn't work for her. She taught school in the church, and she just realized she was not being utilized the way God called her to be. And you remember the story, because I told it a few weeks ago, where she went to superior after superior, trying to get out and go into the slums of Calcutta and work with children in the slums. Now, who in their right mind would want to do that? But God built her that way. And so she went to the slums. It wasn't a church thing. She wasn't holding services. She was feeding the poor. She was taking care of orphans. She was helping orphans get adopted out. And you know, we look at that and we say, that's a church hero. If Mother Teresa isn't a church hero, we don't have church heroes. And she never did that inside the church. Sure, there's jobs in the church, but there aren't always jobs. God's not called you to a job in a church. He's called you to do good works in your life. And you know, I read some of her statements this week about how she felt, there were times when Mother Teresa said she didn't feel God at all while she did that great work. She felt a disconnect because she saw the slums and she saw the starvation, and she would pray and she felt in some senses like God was silent. And then there was other times she just didn't feel the voice of God. And then there was other times in her life where she felt okay. And the reason I'm telling you this is you got a hero of the faith who really sometimes felt like they didn't hear from God. And you know what happens to us? We'll do good works till we feel like we don't hear from God and we stop. Right? And she stuck with it and stuck with it till she died in Calcutta, because she gave her life completely and wholly to Jesus Christ. And there's times when she didn't even feel like she heard from God, because that wasn't the point. And she knew that wasn't the point. The point isn't hearing from God. The point is putting our trust that what God has told us to do, we need to do. And that's what she did. And that's my challenge for you this morning. What is God calling you to do? And are you waiting for a big voice from heaven? Are you waiting for somebody to knock on, like, my walnut head? You know, sometimes you get a little hard-headed like me. And are you waiting for God to knock on your head and say, you need to pour coffee, or I don't know what it would be for you. You need to talk to people, or whatever it may be. Are you waiting for that? It isn't going to happen. God's already told you today to maintain good works. There doesn't need to be anything else said. In fact, let me just give this to you. When we started this church 16 years ago, when Clyde asked me, Clyde said, I'd like you to start this church. And he asked me for 3 years, and I told him, no, I don't think so, not right now. And finally, I told him, look, I'll go pray about it. And I went down to Mississippi on a sales trip, and as I was coming up to Memphis, I was driving along the road, and when I thought about it, it hit me, and I said, Lord, you really want me to start a church with Clyde up in Brighton? And I just felt like, you know, he had those times where it's kind of an epiphany. And I looked at it and I thought, you know what? The Lord has given me the gifts and I'm not using them. Okay. Now, I realize some pastors say, I feel called to go to Brighton. I didn't feel called to go to Brighton. I feel like God wants me in that church. I didn't feel that way. What I felt like was that God had called me to be a pastor and to be a leader, and I wasn't doing it. And that's what hit me on the road to Memphis. And as I climbed aboard that plane, I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going to do what you called me to do. Now, I think in some ways that was Mother Teresa's call. She just was called to work with these kids. And she found Calcutta as a place she could do it, because she had seen it before. And God's calling you the same way. He's not saying, I want you to be the leader of the women's ministry. No, 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 no. He's just saying, go do what I've asked you to do. And I'm asking you this morning, will you do that? And in the process of this, I want you to think about something. Because people chased me in good works, I'm here today. In fact, I'm hoping this summer to get the guy that led me to Christ here to talk to you, so you can see the chain of events. And I don't know whether he'll come. I've been praying that he'll come. He just lost his wife recently. But I look at it, and if he hadn't chased me, and I don't think God was telling, go chase Steve. He would find me at college, and he'd say, Steve, I think one day you're going to be in the ministry. And I say, Jim, you are absolutely crazy. Why in the world would I don't even like to speak in front of people. Why would I go into ministry? And I don't know why you keep chasing me. And he kept doing that. And I'm here today chasing you. And just think, maybe you minister and you may be ministering to the next Billy Graham. You may be ministering to the next Bill Hybels. You may be ministering to someone who's going to be a pastor who is going to win hundreds of people for Christ, and you had a piece in that because you did what God told you to do. And think about what you would miss if you didn't. And that's a decision we all have to make. It's hard, but you have to step out in faith and decide to do it. So my question today is, will you engage in this decision? Will you engage in good works and begin to do it inside the church, outside the church? It doesn't matter. Will you just do what God told you to do? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this portion of Scripture. It was so encouraging this week to look at your Scripture, and you're saying this is a saying worth trusting, that we really need to pay attention to this. Lord, help us to maintain good works. Help us to walk in them just as you have created us to do. And help us to keep finding our path. And Lord, will you keep making it clearer and clearer in our heart just what it is that we're to do. And help us to do that in Jesus' name.